bored you people. All right, I'm already in a bit of a roll.
I can tell. You're already up here.
And I'm a little, yeah.
Up there.
I'm nuts. I'm crazy. I'm beside myself.
I think a lot of people are about this. This one does not make sense.
Let me tell you what is wrong with this Jussie Smollett story, that the Cook County State's Attorney has dropped the charges against Jussie Smollett. And his attorneys are out saying, hey, he's been exonerated. He had nothing to do with this. It was a total, you know, this is, he's a victim. And they have proved it by dropping the charges. Truth is under assault in this country every single day by people who shouldn't be assaulting it. People who are constitutional officers in Washington, in Chicago, in Cook County. People who are required by the fact that they work for the people to tell the truth, not just the truth that serves them the best. And I understand politics, but there's a difference between politics and law. You say one thing on a campaign trail, but when it comes to doing your job, you got to do your job. And I think Kim Fox should step down as Cook County State's Attorney. She has embarrassed the office. She has humiliated the Chicago Police Department and the city of Chicago. This is such an obvious case of what, and Jussie Smollett's lawyers will say, as they told me earlier today, and we're going to play some of the audio of that, the whole story didn't come out. He didn't get a chance to talk. He told the story to ABC News Good Morning America.
Yeah, I think we heard a lot from Jussie Smollett. I think all along we said this delivered a message to people who've been accused or have been victims of legit hate crimes, that how hard is it to come forward? Well, you may not be believed, but this goes beyond that now. It says if you're powerful and connected and a celebrity, maybe even, and you don't face the same justice. And that is just wrong on all levels. The charges were dropped after a grand jury returned 16 felonies and his record sealed after being wiped clean. How does that make sense? Police department, who spent countless hours on this,
they said 20,000 man hours.
Never be refunded for that. They get the 10,000 bond to keep for the city.
How do they pull this off?
Bizarre.
Smollett's people. How the hell did this happen?
All right. Pat Brady.
He's going to explain it all.
Who used to be a Cook County State's Attorney, right? Cook County State's Attorney. And also a federal, an AUSA in the Justice Department. The answer Kay Powell's question. How'd they pull it off?
Somebody made a call. I mean, this makes no sense on so many levels. Not just the fact that nolle prosecution is what the legal term is, means they're not going to go forward with the case, which makes no sense in a case unless the case has completely fallen apart. And if it has, you put that on the record that we lost our witnesses, somebody died, evidence was lost. None of that's been said. So the first thing, sealing all this makes no sense.
Jussie
Smollett's lawyer told me earlier that that's very standard to seal these cases because it's protecting the victim.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I've never... this isn't a rape case or a child sex case or something like that where you'd want to protect... Who's the victim here? I mean,
he's the victim of an assault. And I asked her, we're going to play this a little bit later on. But he said they're maintaining now that he was the victim of an assault by assailants that he was not cooperating with.
Well, that's the state's attorney said just the opposite, right? The assistant state's attorney? Mm-hmm.
And now an assistant state's attorney has just come forward. Not Kim Fox, but Kim Fox recused herself because she had some level of communication with Jussie Smollett's friends or family in this.
Family members, and also Tina Chen, the former First Lady Michelle Obama's former chief of staff, reached out on behalf of the Smollett family asking Kim Fox to help with the case, that there was some issues the family had, which I would think, and maybe Pat Brady...
Inappropriate. She wanted to get it kicked to the feds so it would die. Wasn't that the conversation with the text? Can this be a federal case?
So she said, I've asked to Superintendent Johnson to transfer it to the feds. And I'm trying were her words. Is she supposed to be trying on behalf of the Smollett family and Tina Chen, or is she supposed to be trying on behalf of the people of Cook County?
I agree with you. I saw her at an event about a year ago where she was speaking, and I didn't know who the public defender was and who the state's attorney was. She's never been a zealous advocate for the victims of crimes, I don't think. I she's not been a good state's attorney.
You cannot speak to anybody in law enforcement, whether at the judiciary level, at the even her her states to the people she works with, and I'm going to promise her this. I am going to promise her this. I hope that she was very careful anytime she had a conversation with Mark Garagos when he was representing Jussie Smollett. That's all I'm going to say to her. Because the one thing we know for sure is that he was just involved in another case where wires were worn.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
That's all I'm going to say. So she should just think very long and hard about if she had any personal conversations with anybody. Now, maybe she didn't because she had already recused herself by the time Garagos came onto the case. But you hope she didn't have a conversation with him. I mean, she would not have been able to have a conversation with him as it pertained to Smollett. Or well, even elliptically
that,
pertained.
Well, the emails that came out that Anna was talking about, the ARDC should be looking into that. I think that's an improper conversation.
Actually, the ARDC is basically the
Attorney Disciplinary Committee. But just if you unpack this all the way through on if they really thought that their case had fallen apart, then put that on the record. I don't know how this case falls apart the way that the case that the superintendent laid out. It's not just the two quote-unquote Nigerians. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
These are not Nigerians. They're Americans.
Americans,
the
they call it. Yeah. But anyway, these folks, and not to get too much into legal woods, they have been into the grand jury. So if their statements come apart, you still throw them on the stand, let them give their statements, and if it's inconsistent with what they did in the grand jury, you cross-examine them with that, and you can use that under Illinois law as substantive evidence. This case, it didn't fall apart. It couldn't fall apart. It was too strong.
Two white men with MAGA hats attacked him, threw bleach on him, used a noose, and threw it around his neck. Remember, these were the claims he made.
All his goofy
He has since pulled back the claim, because we went back through the Robin Roberts tape today to make sure to see what it was. In the Robin Roberts tape, he's very careful not to identify his assailants. He couldn't see what color their eyes were. He couldn't
see.
But
at one point she says, is that them? And he said yes.
Well, according to the police reports, when he was being interviewed by the police on the night of the or the morning after the incident, that's where that whole MAGA hat, this is MAGA country, all that stuff came from. And he was a little more careful about describing the events when he sat down with ABC News.
Well, but then it just contradicts what he had earlier said.
Yeah!
I mean, like, in a big way. A big way. So just because
we're giving
that
this guy a pass because he's an actor, and he's
he seems
famous
to be highly politically connected. I mean, not everyone can get the First Lady's former chief of staff on the phone to advocate on your behalf for the state's attorney who's prosecuting you.
Is it because he was in Mighty Ducks 2?
No,
is that the reason?
I got a text good that movie. He actually got a sculling scholarship to UCLA.
You look great. So
he fake sculling outfit. I'm trying to have a serious conversation, Pat Brady.
He's mad today, Pat.
I am mad too. This is bad.
On behalf of a lifelong citizen, taxpayer, my parents are taxpayers, my parents are born in the city, the people of the city of Chicago deserve an apology from Jussie Smollett and a hell of a lot more than $10,000 for what he put everybody through. And if he wants to say, no, I didn't do it, well, you know what? Go ahead. Let's take that to court. You come after me and you unseal the documents. I'd like to see the police reports now.
I will go back and research it more, but the sealing thing, I've never heard of in a case.
You can
like
get that. But
you can get it unsealed.
You can get it
judge.
Unsealed and go to a higher judge.
Right.
And I would go to Justice Ann Burke right now. She's got nothing else going on. Ask her at the Supreme Court. See if they can unseal that. All right, hold on a second. Lourdes Duarte is going to join this. I don't know if she wants to. She's trying to run away from it right now. Because quite honestly, she's like, I don't know. I think this is not going to end well for me. But she's going to join us from WGN TV News right after we talk to Kim Gordon. WGN Radio News, what's going on?
And Ro will bring you the latest in the stunning developments today in the Jussie Smollett case.
I want you to know that not for a moment was it in vain. I've been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one. I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I have been accused of. This has been an incredibly difficult time, honestly one of the worst of my entire life. But I am a man of faith, and I'm a man that has knowledge of my history, and I would not bring my family, our lives, or the movement through a fire like this. I just wouldn't.
Well, that leaves a lot of questions unanswered.
Oh,
Lourdes Duarte joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. That's Jussie Smollett after walking out of a courtroom, after having his record wiped clean was the term that was used.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are en fuego today. That's what we say in my house. Wow.
Yes.
That's quite a conversation.
I'm fuegoed up right now.
En fuego.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I got the fuego all over myself. I cannot believe. I mean, here's the thing that we know, that cases that are not going to end up, you know, where you have first-time offenders and situations like this that are awkward, they don't often result in convictions that end up in jail time, right? I get all of that.
Right.
There's a very different standard when it's as high profile as this. And when Jussie Smollett accused, Chicago is very sensitive to the crime problem that we know that we have. So we don't need somebody coming in and saying it's worse than it actually is.
And pointing a finger at police work and the bad job they did all along in dragging that further through the mud. He was pointing a lot of fingers in directions now it's become clear didn't deserve to be pointed.
And the way that you guys are feeling, that's pretty much how a lot of Chicagoans are feeling. I can't tell you how many texts I've gotten just in the last couple of hours with people just saying, I'm confused. What happened here? So, of course, we've been trying to get answers to figure out what's been going on. The Chicago Tribune did an interview not too long ago with the first assistant state's attorney. So, basically, the second in command to Kim Fox. And he was asked why they were able to come up with this deal for Jussie Smollett. His quote, he says, they use the same criteria as they would for any defendant. This does not mean that he has been exonerated for doing something wrong or not doing something wrong. In fact, this first assistant state's attorney said that he stands behind the investigation, stands behind everything that was presented to them, but that they did come up with a deal for Jussie Smollett, which includes, and I don't know how much of this you guys have talked about, community service and then that $10,000 bond, that cash money that he paid out to make it out of jail to go to the city of Chicago. And of course, the city saying, hey, this isn't enough to cover everything that we spent on investigation. No way. They're saying it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars when you add it all up.
And I give it to his publicity people because they were able to win the morning news headline, which was charges dropped against Jussie Smollett. And I think the greatest hope was that that just kind of sits out there, goes out, and no one will ask any questions about that. You know, the 16 counts that it were against him, right? And the idea here that he made up the story and he filed a false police report and all of that, and that the two brothers who were the ones who have acknowledged assailing him, and his attorney was on TV with us earlier today and said, listen, these guys already acknowledged, these two guys acknowledged that they were the ones who were the attackers, right?
No question.
But and so, you know, what about them? Well, no. What they acknowledged was they conspired with Jussie to not really beat him up, to make it, you know, to set up this whole thing as a publicity stunt.
Right. And you would think that that case seems fairly open and shut with all the information we had and obvious mistruths, lies that Smollett told throughout this about the assailants being white, about all the things they did. There was just so much here that didn't add up.
Right.
Anything that the top deputy for Kim Fox, because I know she accused herself
from
because
the
of the conflict.
And then he came in. Yeah.
He came in, so I guess it was his decision. Did he explain also why this is sealed? Why there's no transparency here for everyone to see this astonishing decision?
Yeah, regardless of what their attorneys say, because the attorneys also said, well, they all get sealed. They do not all get sealed.
No, you're right. They don't. One of the things that he did talk about, that this is someone who doesn't have a record, who's been doing community service, by all accounts, a decent citizen. And normally in a situation like this, this is the way.
But was this court-ordered community service? No,
that's
right?
What I don't know. That's what there was a lot of questions that weren't. I hate to use that phrase, that there's still more,
why
more
so
questions
opaque?
Than answers
is
in
it,
all this.
It's right. So this is so in that 26th Street. 26th of California, the courthouse there, which we pay for. Everybody in this room pays for, everybody who lives in Cook County pays for that room, right? We're paying the rent over there.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying the salaries of the judges and the state's attorneys and the public defenders. Not of the lawyers. The private lawyers are on their own.
That's right.
Right? And so the private lawyers and the defendant in this particular case walk into the courtroom, and everybody who we're paying the salary for won't tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
How is that okay?
Now you see how I feel
on a
daily basis. Just getting information from some of these agencies is so incredibly difficult to do as a reporter, just even as a citizen. And so I always tell people, look, you want more information, make sure you reach out to these offices. Let them know that it's important that it be released.
Yeah.
Because it happens way too often. I do want to mention one other thing that I think might be important here in the coming days. You got to wonder, would there be any federal charges filed in all of this? Because if you remember, there was that whole issue of mail fraud, that letter that he supposedly mailed to make sure that this attack happened, basically saying that he was being targeted. Mm-hmm. So you wonder if the FBI might file federal charges in that case. Not sure if that'll happen or not, but I mean, that's another scenario.
Well, they got nothing else to do now. Yeah. I just saw that in the news over the weekend that they got a lot of time on their hands over there at the FBI.
I guess there's a police civil suit that would be possible as well.
We're going to talk to the FOP here in just a moment. Yeah. Because Kevin Graham, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, they have their own thoughts about this, because it's the 13,000 men and women in uniform in this city who've really taken it on the chin here, because they're accused not only of doing a bad job in the investigation, but now when they did a good job in the investigation, they're accused of not being honest about the investigation that they did a good job in. And as I said to the attorney, I go, well, how did these two guys get arrested? If Jussie Smollett didn't know them, well, Jussie Smollett did not realize that was who those guys were that attacked him, well, then if the police did such a bad job, how did they get these guys? Yeah. They're the ones who identified him.
And picked him up at the airport on their way back from Nigeria.
They got on a plane right after the attack and went to Nigeria. Because that's what everyone does. Every guy in town who goes and knocks somebody else over on a street immediately goes to O'Hare and gets on an international flight. I'm out of my mind!
Ay, Dios mio. This is a lot.
What's worse than En Fuego?
En Fuego?
Yeah.
Oh, enfueguesado.
Okay,
that's
where we're at now. Where we are, Lourdes.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks, have a Lourdes. Good afternoon.
Bye. We'll see you on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. All right, let's check now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN Radio News brought to you by TradingAcademy.com.
So in return for him forfeiting his bond to the city of Chicago and doing community service, we agreed to dismiss the charges against him.
And that community service, what does that look like?
He did community service for Operation Push.
All right, that's Joseph Magus talking to ABC7. He is the first assistant state's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging that a deal was struck here in exchange for the dropping of the charges.
Yep.
Here's a little bit more of Mr. Magus.
He had no prior felony background. He had no history of violence. Like I said, it is a low-level felony. Based on all the facts and circumstances, we feel it was a just disposition in the case. Our goal and our number one priority is combating violent crime and the drivers of violence. And we look to use our resources to do that. And I don't think that Mr. Smollett is a driver of violence, and nor was he someone who's a violent criminal.
Okay. Now, that's fair. I understand that's fair. Here's what's fair about that. That in a lot of these cases and nonviolent offenses, they cut some other sort of a deal, another kind of a deal to get it to go in a different way. I get it. I understand that.
Right.
But if that's what's going to happen in a high profile case, acknowledge it and do not leave the Chicago Police Department. Do not leave the rest of the state's attorney's office. Do not leave the judiciary of the county of Cook out to dry. And claim that I was completely this, you know, stick by your story. There has to be an acknowledgement by Jussie Smollett and an apology to Chicago for putting them through this. He can't stick by his story and get away with this.
There's no time served. A grand jury returned 16 felonies against him. They dropped these charges under these suspicious and certainly questionable circumstances. Then they seal the record and wipe his record clean.
Kevin Graham is the president of Chicago Fraternal Order of Police.
Hello.
All right, your reaction to this?
You know, first of all, being extremely disappointed in Kim Fox and in the state's attorney's office is an understatement. The detectives of the Chicago Police Department worked extremely hard. They followed every lead, no matter where it went, to make sure that there was a fair investigation and that Mr. Smollett could not say that we didn't try and do everything we could to make sure that we established what he was saying. But it didn't go that way, because that's not what happened. He has failed to admit what he has done, not just to the court system, but to the Chicago Police Department, to the city of Chicago, and in trying to embarrass us. And he walks away without anything. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, as part of this, his attorney, Aaron Garagos in particular, took big shots at the police department. And even today, his attorney said they're trying their case through the in the public, and they're putting everything out there. The police need to stop that. I mean, they've been trying to drag the name of police through the mud, and I think there's already a history of things here that we deal with in Chicago that an outsider like Jesse comes in and does that becomes a little offensive. You then have the situation where Superintendent Johnson today said he didn't even know. He learned when the media learned today that this was going to happen. Is that procedural from your view?
No. They often call the police department. We often get calls from people at the state's attorney's office letting the FOP know what things are going to transpire. And we got no notification. I don't believe the superintendent got a notification, the detectives, or the mayor's office. I don't believe we were caught off guard by this. The question really is, why would you take a case that is high profile, that he has denied his involvement, and it is clear that that is not the case that we have found, and let him off the hook? I mean, what does this say to people who don't have high-priced attorneys? What does this say to people who can't afford to go into the court system and have a publicist and change attorneys anytime they need to?
Yeah, he went through a number of them. In this process,
right.
He went through at least five local attorneys. Were working on this case at least at any given moment here throughout the process of it on his behalf, and the attorneys that have got, and so his current attorney has been out doing publicity today. I said, well, he didn't have a representation. He had Hollywood lawyers who were representing him. It was a direct quote from one of them, or entertainment lawyers, who didn't know anything about this kind of thing. So, he wasn't properly represented. That on its face is not correct. He did have criminal defense attorneys here. He had a number of them throughout this process. So he was aware that the story, that the investigation, to your point, Kevin Graham, from the Fraternal Order of Police, that the police went out, wanted to make sure, because you've got a high-profile guy who's here, who's claiming, the initial claim was, that he had been assaulted for being a gay black man, and that he had been threatened on the set by this letter that had been presented as evidence, that it had received this hateful letter that would look like a hostage letter with all this stuff like cut out and put together.
Right.
And that he was targeted and attacked on that night, in the middle of the night here on a Chicago street, by two assailants whom he told police had racial motivation. Now, the next, or a cultural motivation, I think, but both, right?
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, the police go, and they do an amazing job. Even they did such a good job of tracking this. They used all the cameras, and they got witnesses to help them with this, which doesn't happen in every case. A lot of people turn on the police department and go, well, how come they work so hard on the Smollett case? And they couldn't find, they can't find a murder case somewhere else. Well, that's because there are not necessarily cameras everywhere. Downtown where this happened, there are cameras that follow you all the way out. And these guys took Ubers and cabs, which are now tracked. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole other process here that you don't necessarily get in other places in the city. And then on top of it, they had people that cooperated when they grabbed up these guys at the, at the airport and just come back from their trip in Nigeria.
It.
They basically copped to the whole thing, and they have the video of them buying. We're putting it up on CLTV right now. We have video of them buying the rope at the hardware store. Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If the Chicago police did such a crappy job, how come they found the two guys that you said did it?
You know what? Not only did they do a great job, there was more evidence that has not come out in the public, and I think that once that had come into play in court, people would have been amazed at at how well the detectives did this. One of the things that really disturbs me in this case is not only does Jesse Smollett get to walk away and claim that he didn't do anything wrong, which certainly doesn't appear to anybody looking at this case that's true. But what's worse in all of this is that it is very clear that something was done, because I've never seen a judge seal all the records so that nobody can take a look at that.
That part just smells. And let me ask you this, in terms of what could happen now, some have said, well, maybe the feds would bring charges, but that those are still possible because he sent some those threatening letters through the mail, staged this fake attack through the mail, and that there was powder in one of the envelopes. I guess that's a possibility. Could police file a civil suit here? Do you think that's something that would happen here to try to recoup some of the costs of this investigation?
You know what? I mean, I would have to defer that to the city's law department, because I don't know what part of that is in him surrendering his bond, because I'm not sure how that's going, and it certainly is not going to cover the amount of manpower that we put into this case.
The $10,000.
Yeah.
More near it.
You'd
have to ask a practicing attorney on what the legalities is between him surrendering that bond and them going after him in a civil suit.
And you know, that shouldn't be the standard anyway, because we pay the police department to do their jobs, and this is not a pay-for-hire situation. You don't ever really want to be caught in a situation like that.
I get it.
But when you do, and there are cases where there are fines levied against people that are meant to cover that. That are intended for the coverage of that. So yes, that would have had to have been done at in county court today. That apparently wasn't done. His doing whatever community service now they say that he did for Operation Push, and the $10,000 that he is surrendering. But the thing that really, I don't know if you could tell, Kevin, that I'm a little chafed by this whole thing, but I am.
I'm bothered too. I'm pretty angry myself.
And I just can't control it. But you're doing a much better job. I do not understand how can his attorneys stand up and go out and do press for him right now and represent him and say and use terms like, he was the victim in this, and finally this is all good. And they're saying all the charges are dropped. They're not talking about a deal being cut. They're making it sound as though, and I think intentionally so, by being very careful with their words, making it sound as though the charges were dropped and this whole thing was turned out as a result of the investigation that he had nothing to do with it. That is not true.
Here's the thing. Although the judge has sealed the records, you can still, and I would imagine that there are going to be news outlets that are going to do the FOIA request on the police reports. And I think people can look at make their own judgment. The Chicago police officers and the detectives that worked this case did an outstanding job, put together a great case. And if Mr. Smollett thinks that he's innocent, then he should turn down that deal and he should go right into court and have his day in court, and he can prove his innocence.
All right, now I want to play one thing for you. Here is also Joe Maggots from he's the first assistant state's attorney talking about the police department. Listen to this.
We stand behind the investigation and the facts that it revealed.
What does that mean?
It means that we believe he did what he was charged with doing.
So you believe that he lied on the police report?
Yes, this was not an exoneration. To say that he was exonerated by us or anyone else is not true.
So you believe he did fill out complete a false police report?
Yes.
Your response from the Fraternal Order of Police to that?
That I think he did file a false police report. I think that our detectives have proved that he had lied to the police, and I think our detectives did a good job of establishing and bringing to a grand jury who really is the one that indicted him. This isn't the Fraternal Order of Police or the Chicago Police Department or one detective making an accusation. A portion of this was brought to the grand jury who found him found a true bill. They said he needs to stand trial and be charged with this. All so right. You know, to say later, "Oh, I'm still innocent," is what he's claiming is preposterous.
All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Kevin Graham, Chicago Fraternal Order of Police.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon right now. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe will tell you why prosecutors decided to drop those charges against Empire actor Jesse Smollett.
All right, we've got news at the top of the hour coming your way. I want everybody to relax, and that means you, Mr. Khan. I want to thank CLTV for putting up with me today, because I got a little animated and I said some things that might have ruffled some hair and some feathers and some other things, and it's all deserved. We'll get you all cut up here in 2 minutes. I would just like to say about today and all the news of today. Oh, hell no!
Yeah. That about sums it up.
That's all I want to say. Tom Skilling is here, brought to us by Permasil Basement Systems. In the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to try to calm down. Now, the best news, Tom, is that our new doctor is in the house with us.
Oh, excellent.
Dr. Jim Adams, he's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Memorial Healthcare. We're good. We got the best of the best who's going to be here, and no better day ever, because at some point he's going to have to lay me down on the ground and do chest compressions because I am out of my mind.
I don't think it'll help when he starts talking about the Ebola outbreak in Africa.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know,
that's right.
Flu season.
Oh, God.
And,
please.
It's not going to be helpful.
May I issue a plea from the weather office? Doctor, help him. Just please help him. Chemotherapy, whatever it takes.
Yeah, whatever.
You know,
I got some chemical therapy right here, right now. I got some ideas for that.
Even before Friday, wow, it has been. This last week has been nuts, hasn't it? I mean, you know,
can't imagine.
Especially the last couple of days.
Let me just tell you something. When the two most honest men in America are Jussie Smollett and Donald Trump, I know that things have gone a little like
off the tracks a little.
Because, you know, Donald Trump, I mean, everybody, even his most fervent supporters go, well, I think he probably made that up, right? Yeah. There's that. But now, you know, Jussie Smollett standing there and saying, finally, you know, the truth has come out and I'm totally innocent. And the people out I mean, we played that thing with, he stood in front of the rake of microphones at the county court building, right?
And he's talking about everything he said has been absolutely true, like wouldn't be my mother's son or something to that effect.
If I had done it, and then all of a sudden, all of his Hollywood buddies are jumping up and down, I'm so sorry department did this to you. This is terrible. Hey! You made it up!
You totally made it up.
And he cut a deal so he didn't have to go to jail. Now, it's the greatest deal of all times. I'd like to get that kind of a deal.
I know.
Let me
tell you something. If I did something like this in this town, unfortunately, it's because they all know
or
me.
Or any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In the old days, they used to say, you're going to take a beating. That's what they used to say.
I know.
And I would deserve it.
And then the suspicious maneuver of sealing the record as if that's normal given the circumstances. It just feels as if there needs to be transparency when we all know that there were a lot of lies told here and a lot of resources used by our police and authorities, right? I think part of this deal, maybe just part of it, if you didn't want to see him go to jail, and I understand it wasn't a violent crime, that maybe there could have been an apology.
You know something? I'm the lowly weather forecaster, so you guys are far more expert
on
this.
That's you. Anyone's ever said about Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Like, lowly weather person.
But seriously, who is it who will ultimately step in here, look at all this, and pass on whether it's correct or not, or is this a done deal?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Tom.
Yes.
It's kind of a done deal. I mean,
is it?
Yeah. The thing is that there's going to be very little, and I think this is what everybody knows and are taking advantage of, and this is incredibly disrespectful to the taxpayers of County of Cook and the City of Chicago. And Kim Fox, I am calling upon her to step down as Cook County State's Attorney. She has lost the support when her own when her own deputy, the first assistant state's attorney, has to come out and on camera say that the Cook County state's attorney's office believes that Jussie Smollett is, you know, that he did the wrong thing here. They stand by the police investigation, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And yet, they still cut a deal that was just proffered to the judge. The judge was handed an already packaged deal between the Cook County State's Attorney. So when the first assistant state's attorney comes out and says, yeah, no, we still believe the police, you got two different things at work there. Who was it at the state's attorney office who said this is good? And if it's Kim Fox, she recused herself already. So what does that even mean?
And the text messages that went back and forth from the Smollett family and that the Tribune got and Kim Fox at the time she was supposed to be the one who would prosecute the case, and at the time when she also got former First Lady Michelle Obama's former chief of staff to reach out to her on his behalf, it just feels like there's a lot at play here. And we deserve, with those circumstances, to have this unsealed record so that people can say, okay, we may not agree with it, but justice somehow, some way, and I don't understand it at all right now, was carried out.
Yeah, you'd at least understand the line of reasoning that has gone on here. That's very interesting. These are never dull moments, are there? Dull times. Wow. Very interesting.
It is.
Well,
it is. I know you guys on WGN TV tonight have the first deputy, Fox's first deputy. I think there's an interview that Lourdes told us about.
This must be his last day on the job, is my guess, because I have no idea.
You go talk to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's going out and he's basically. The story he's telling
is questioning the boss.
It's questioning the decision that was made to. It flies in the face of the decision that was made by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office to accept this deal.
Yeah.
And then to allow the attorneys for Jussie Smollett to come out and say there was no deal. They just dropped the charges. That's not true.
No.
Oh, my God. Where's the doctor?
I was going to say, get him in fast. Did he come with his little stethoscope?
I don't know.
A little bag of goodies.
This is where they got to hit. They got to hit me in the thigh with that syringe of stuff, and then it's sort of like, all right, shut up, and then they hit you in the thigh, and then I'm gone. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of need right now.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then hearing Tom talk about a backdoor pneumonia
that's it.
Wasn't helpful.
I was going to say, and let's not even go there.
No, don't.
I mean, this would be the stick that would break the camel's back here. Although it sounds like it's already broken, you know. So
that's good. Yes, it is. It totally is.
I know it does. It does. I can understand why you're riled by this.
I think the police department is. A lot of citizens are. You saw the mayor certainly was, and the police superintendent.
You know, I've been hearing complaints about Kim Fox's operation as the Cook County State's Attorney for the last 2 years. And people are saying, well, this is a totally different situation than they had under Anita Alvarez, because there was that charges approved when... Police with the job of the police is not to charge. It's to investigate and then refer charges to the state's attorney, who then makes the formal charge, which, and then they go into the custody of the county sheriff and the rest of that, and then it goes through the criminal justice system. The police aren't the ones who do that. It's the state's attorneys, the guys with felonies. There's a department called Felony Review, and they have felony review cars that circle the city that go around. And when the police make an arrest, they take you over to an area, to one of the area headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the felony review people come in, who are state's attorneys. They're lawyers. And they show up, and they look at the case, and then they either approve the charges or they don't. And then if they approve the charges, that person then is taken in front of a judge of some sort, or they're taking the county to await being in front of a judge, so that they can determine, are they going to jail? Are they going to be released on their own recognizance? Are they going to get an ankle monitor? Blah, 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 blah. Because they've been charged and set a court date and all the rest of that. So it's up to the court. It's up to the Cook County State's Attorney's Office to make these decisions. And this and the coppers tell you all the time in this town about how it's totally changed in the last 2 years, and they will not approve charges, even in violent. When you look at the case of where this 23-year-old kid, police officer
Rivera,
killed slaughtered on the street.
Is that the most horrid thing you've ever heard in your life?
On Friday night. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
There are the stories, people have seen the video of what happened here because it's clear on video. Exactly. These two guys pulling up, just standing up next to this car and just opening fire into it because he just wants to kill, you know, it appears, just wants to kill somebody.
Yeah.
There were
racial overtones to it, weren't
that's,
there?
That's one of the things that's being discussed publicly. But here, the one thing we know for sure was what this guy did, right? Well, this guy had already been on an ankle monitor. Right? And the battery had gone bad on the ankle monitor. And then he came in for a review and they just go, all right, fine. They took him off of his, he was on curfew. He was on an ankle monitor curfew, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. He was allowed to be out after 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. He had to be, you know, next to his monitoring station at his home. And that thing wasn't even working. And then within 2 weeks ago is when they popped him off of the ankle monitor.
Wow.
2 weeks ago, and now he's out killing somebody.
That's amazing.
He also had guns he wasn't supposed to have.
Jeez.
I mean, it was like, I'm not going to blame the Cook County history for all that, but I'm going to blame the system and her unbelievable lack of respect for what the men and women of the police department are trying to do here, and not just Chicago, talk about the rest of the county.
Right.
Why am I talking like that?
Well, and Eddie Johnson, the superintendent, said he was blindsided by this decision, wasn't consulted, and typically you do see them work together when they're handling a case hand in hand, and that this sort of just was dropped and deal with it. They learned about it at the same time as the media and everyone else learned about it, and then they seal the record and expunge his record.
How would anybody who makes a decision like this think that this isn't going to bring on all kinds of scrutiny, you know? And this stuff will come out. It's kind of like...
It will come out.
I agree.
You know what? We had the Fraternal Order of Police president on, and he basically ballooned up the roadmap for that. That the press should, and anybody can do this, but the press organizations should use the Freedom of Information Act to be able to
find out what happened
in the police reports.
Yep. Well, you know,
and then you get a judge to unseal it at that point.
It's the same thing at the national level with this Mueller report. The press is going to dig into this until get the information as well and find out what the rationale has been behind all this.
For sure.
Get me started. You already got me started. Yeah. Look at you.
Nice time.
I know.
Well done.
Done here right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to calm down now.
Well, good. I worry. We worry about you.
Right? I don't want you calm. This is fun.
Yeah.
Really?
Fun's probably not the right word,
Kevin,
but hearing you go off, I was, yes.
Kevin.
But I think you're echoing what I think a lot of Chicagoans, people in Cook County feel today.
I'm like the Incredible Hulk.
Well, it's just
I got angry, and then all of a sudden, you don't want to see me angry.
Right.
Don't make him angry.
Kevin, you got to get him back out of the golf course again or something.
I unload
the stress.
I interviewed the lawyer this morning, or early this afternoon on Windy City Live, his lawyer. And you know, she's a very respected attorney in Chicago. She was a former county and federal prosecutor. I believe she was also a judge at one point.
Wow.
And she did a really nice job defending her client. But the problem is that she's out defending her client. This is a case where the guy got the biggest buddy pass in the history of buddy passes from the system today, from the Cook County State Attorney's Office and from this judge. He got a buddy pass. He was able to do something that I think most defendants dream of in a situation like this, right? And he gets to walk away. And instead of just going quietly into that good night and getting to O'Hare and wheels up to L.A. where he lives, he decides that his lawyers should go out and try to make it seem as though that this was a total dropping of the charges, there wasn't a deal cut here, that there was never anything to see here. And then he stands up. He stands up in front of the press and says, hey, you know what? I stand by my story, and I'm not my mother's son if I don't. Oh, my God!
Right, and that he has told the truth every step of the way, which it's just baffling, absolutely baffling. I know Chicago. Like, back to your question, though, Tom. What next? And how do you look into this more? You know, the police, Chicago Police Department, could call for an investigation into Kim Fox's handling of this, because she's very silent today. I saw Ben Bradley at WGN TV tweeting about that. That why do we just have a written statement from her, given so many circumstances here that deserve answers?
Oh, right? I know what's going to happen here, though. I mean, I'm speculating. I have to do this. Let me protect myself journalistically here. Let me go cloak myself in the big JK.
Put up the commentary sign.
Yes. And say that what she could do is she could say, well, I recuse myself. I had nothing to do with any of this. And if she does do that, and it comes out that she had anything to do with it, she even mentioned his name at a cocktail party in the last 4 weeks, she should step down.
Yeah, I mean, who made the call? Did she have any part of it?
What is his status now with the television program?
Well, they wrote him out of the last two or three episodes of this season. They just kind of worked around him in this. I think he's still under contract. I don't know what's going to happen.
And Empire put out a statement today saying, you know, we're thrilled that he's been, you know, the charges have been dropped in this case.
Yes.
They did say that?
Mm-hmm.
They did. All right. Because earlier Fox Television said that they wouldn't have comment on it, but they have now since commented.
Yeah.
Or at least the producers of Empire, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Fox and 21st Century.
Interesting.
So the production company.
Both. The network and the production company.
Well, the production company is actually Disney now.
Well, Disney said the same thing.
Right.
Hey, don't get me started.
Sorry, Mickey. Oh, man, when he gets mad.
Was Mickey ready to step into this?
I'll tell you something right now, pal.
I know.
I got your exoneration right here.
Gee.
Don't come up here and bring your mess into my new company.
Does the doctor handle mice as well? Or, you know, just,
he's not a vet, too, no.
It just, he's got to be a combo MD and veterinarian, you know? So, yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
This will be fascinating to watch. You know, just how this develops.
I don't know if it develops. I don't know. I mean, it might just go away. It might just blow over.
Wonder.
And then you know, the people in the state attorney's office and the cops and the people who go out on the streets every night and risk their own lives to go do their job to make sure that these streets are safer. Imagine if you didn't have them doing their jobs, how unsafe these streets would be. They're unsafe now, right? I mean, all over this city. My daughter walks by that place, by that corner every day of her life, where that young man was killed on Friday night. And we used to say, well, you know, the bad stuff only happens in bad neighborhoods. And then at the top of our news, this rash of carjackings throughout the north side of Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this. The last line, the thin blue line of defense, still stands there. And unless you support them, it's chaos.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Roy, you keep thinking about, you hear these suicides with regard to the survivors of this Parkland thing, and then there was a father of one of the Sandy Hill things.
Victims.
Do you think part of this is born from the sheer frustration of watching seemingly nothing being done about that? You know?
I think there's a lot of that. I thought about that. That poor man,
the
Sandy Hook guy, who had been, he'd been an activist on some level for... anti-gun shooting, anti-school shooting.
Yes, indeed.
And
a very articulate one.
Very articulate. And I remember at one point, he actually kind of lost it in one of the, there was like a forum, and he, it was very dramatic. And now, you know, this poor guy has gone through so much. You can't imagine. You know, as a parent, you just can't imagine. Can't imagine.
No.
What brings this up is how our police must feel.
That's the point. And you've had this rash of suicides here in Chicago of police, because they're frustrated.
6 and 8 months.
They don't feel supported. They go out and they do their job. And
I mean, that would be enough to fool with your sanity.
They go out, they risk their lives, and they've risked their own mental health in doing this job. Yeah. And then to have people turn around and go, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're not
going to
forget about the criminals.
Yeah, I know.
Unless, you know, if they're the criminals that we want to protect for whatever reason. You know, and in this particular case, it's because, you know, this is a wealthy, powerful guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. I gotta go.
Ro, you because take care of yourself. Anna, take care of him.
In the PPG Paints green room right now is our new doctor, Dr. Adams.
Let's try to make a good impression.
What a lovely day to arrive.
Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Memorial Healthcare is
That's
here.
That's a great facility, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
The best.
I know.
One of the best
real
in the world.
Gem in our medical crown here in Chicago. No
it
question.
Is. Thank you, Tom.
See you guys.
Okay, Tom.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Ro.
Kim.
This may not make feel too good either. Another incident involving a Boeing 737 MAX plane today.
The wait is over. Thursday, the Cubs open their season against Texas. Special pregame next year is here at 2:30. First pitch at 3 on WGNT.
Kim Gordon's going to give us the news. Brought to us by our friends at Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Rob Concho with Anna DeVlazis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget to join us for the Worldwide Test of Harry Carey tomorrow afternoon. Triumph the Insult Comic Dogs is going to be there. Bonnie Hunt's going to be there.
Nice.
Chris Chelios, Ron Kittle, members of the Frank Nitti family. So you got to show up and, hey, be real nice about that. You know what I'm saying? You hear me?
Careful
you
what you're saying.
Yeah, be real careful over by there. And, of course, Ryan Dempster is the Toastmaster, and it all
He's awesome.
Happens at Harry Carey's 33 West Kinzie in Chicago from 4 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. All right, now we've been talking about this for the last number of days. We're very happy about this. We finally have a doctor for the show, the official medical director of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. He's actually, in his real job, the chief medical officer and senior vice president of Northwestern Memorial Healthcare. So, you know, we only get the best when we have to do this.
It's true.
Dr. Jim Adams. And there are, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the flu. And I think this is a fascinating thing that's happened here. The flu season has kind of gone longer than it normally does. And there's been a mutation, right?
Well, we've hit a second wave of flu. The first flu, H1N1, hit early, as expected, but then a second round came, H3N2, and it's been dragging on. Flu's still widespread in Illinois.
And this one seems brutal. Like, everyone I know has had the flu this season, and people typically who don't. Is there some truth to that? Are the numbers higher, or is something else happening here?
Well, it is widespread. A lot of people are sick, but this H3N2 that's going around is worse than the original one. It does make you sicker. It's harder.
Wow.
Is it worse than the original version of explain that.
H1N1 hit us.
Oh, the H1N1.
We thought it was going to be not so severe, and then this second one came around.
So H3N2. Wow. And was that covered on the flu shot?
It was. There's good protection. It's not perfect protection, but it's going to be a little less severe, and some people are not getting sick if they've got the shot, but some people with the shot are still getting sick.
Okay. But you would always encourage people to get the shot because it does lower the severity, even if you do are impacted by the stuff that's covered, and even some of the stuff that's not covered, right? In the flu shot?
Overwhelmingly, the flu shot's safe. It's recommended. It decreases the severity. Even if the coverage is imperfect, it's going to be helpful. Get the flu shot.
I can attest to that. I got the flu for the first time this season. My 7-year-old got it first, and it was just almost impossible to not somehow be in contact with her, you know, trying to take care of her. And I had the flu shot this year. So it was a very, I mean, mild comparatively to the other folks in my family I've seen getting it who didn't. So it was a good thing to get this year, especially as you say, this particular flu. Wow, it's just knocking people off their feet for weeks. It seems to hang on.
And unfortunately, we've got several more weeks ahead. We're
not
still
over.
In it. It's not over.
And what can you do to protect yourself?
Well, hand washing is always the best thing, making sure you're not around. If people are sick, stay home from work. Stay home.
Oh,
if sick.
That is so
Don't get
true.
Him started, Dr. Jim.
Don't even get me started. People show
gonna get
up
out of
here
soapbox now.
And they're like, they've got like, you know, Typhoid Mary shows up in the office and is coughing everywhere. I know. I
have to show up because I'm afraid I'm going to get fired.
Well, you're going to get us all killed is the way I look at it. And I have never understood why people do that. And I get if you're not sick, then and you want to pretend you're sick, that's one thing. But when you really are sick, stay home.
No, it's the right thing to do. Go to bed, drink plenty of fluids. You'll get better faster. It's the right thing.
Right, because it does drag on. That's a good point. It does drag on. Hey, you know, and out of, I know this is not yet affecting the United States, but there is a lot of concern. And I know you were in the Air Force. You did military medicine, and you've been all over the world. This There's a huge Ebola outbreak in Africa, the second largest to the big one in West Africa that freaked everybody out about a decade ago.
It's scary right now. Congo, it's a struggling country, and about 1,000 people have Ebola, so it's a severe issue. It's not spread outside the borders of Congo, and there is an experimental vaccine. They're vaccinating people with it. That vaccine's under FDA review in the United States. Hopefully it'll pass, but they're using it. It seems to be safe and effective there. Hopefully this will be contained. But yeah, it started last August. It's still going.
The last time around, did it stay isolated to those certain areas, or did it spread? I don't recall.
Oh, no. In 2014, in West Africa, it spread across borders and spread outside. It was a very scary event then, and so we learned a lot. And so everybody's watching this one close.
And there were people who also landed in the United States who'd been exposed to it, right? And what do we do in a situation like that?
Well, so there are two scenarios. The first scenario is, again, people that are sick should not be flying at all. But the Ebola virus, like any virus, you can contract it, but it takes between 2 and 10 days for symptoms to show up. So people got on planes healthy. They got in the United States. A couple of days later, got a fever.
And are you contagious before you present?
Well, so with Ebola, no. Okay. Many viruses, you're contagious. So
with
Ebola,
flu,
no.
You are.
Flu, you are. But Ebola, no, only when you show symptoms. So we now, across the country, every emergency department, and I'm a practicing emergency doctor, across the country, you check into emergency, they ask, have you been outside the country?
Yeah.
Standard question now.
Right. Well, right. And because now, when you do ask that question, because I like to go to the emergency room just
check in, make sure everything's okay.
I like to go visit my mom, who's always in the waiting room of the emergency room for any given moment. But if you've ever traveled outside the country, you ask her that. She goes, I haven't traveled west of Michigan Avenue.
You're safe.
The question is pretty wide ranging for you guys now, because that could mean a lot of different things.
Well, so if people have been traveling, then we say where, and depending where is different risks. You're in the Congo, you're going into an isolation room right away, and we're going to be doing some special arrangements. So, yeah, it depends what country you're in.
And obviously at Northwestern and all the major facilities, around the country, they're equipped for that, right?
Absolutely, we're equipped, but every emergency department has to have the ability to isolate people at risk, but then they stop and decide how to move, but Northwestern's fully equipped, of course.
Right, yeah. And it's because you see that in all those movies, too, where they set up a tent city outside the hospital. I don't even want to know. Don't talk to me about that, doctor. It'll totally freak me out. But
you're freaked out enough today.
But the idea, to make sure that people... I do recall, I think it was the 2014 outbreak or the one prior to that, that the people landed here and... It was, there were helicopter shots of them being transported around, from hospital to facility. And CDC has a facility for that down in Atlanta, too, right?
They do. Well, and so they have specially designated places for Ebola as receiving centers. But we have to be prepared here in Chicago, and we are, from first isolation. The other thing, too, is we can do more rapid testing to say, is it Ebola, is it not? So we've gotten a lot better.
You can do it in the United States. We do more rapid testing, or Northwestern, or just better than it is out in the field, essentially.
Well, all of the above, we're equipped, but if the first time that any emergency department would expect this, you call the Department of Public Health, they bring the testing in, so everybody's real quick.
Is that part of what you said you learned from the last time around, to be more well-equipped to deal with it this time?
We as a whole country have gotten better, and that's one example, yeah.
But it's a different, method by which it spreads. A lot of it, they talked about the 2014 outbreak and then previous outbreaks of Ebola, is that the sanitation systems in West Africa, where it was, very, very hot in 2014, but then also in the Congo, sanitation systems were bad. And then when you go in and you have to, when someone has perished from this disease, and it's and the vector of this is like bloodborne, whether it's anything that's coming out of the body, essentially, they're going to touch, right?
Exactly.
So if you make contact with blood or, any other kind of matter there, waste matter, then you've been the healthcare workers, the ones who are really getting affected by it, because they're trying to literally, move these bodies and clean up the scene from where these people died. And when you do that, you're basically getting contaminated. That doesn't happen in the United States.
That's exactly right, because you do have to touch the body fluids of the infected individual. So it's not as contagious as certain viruses that spread by air. So the families in Africa would prepare the body for burial. Those are highly infectious. The families would get infected. The healthcare, mm-hmm. as you said. Mm-hmm. So it's scary. You have to be really careful, but you do have to be in contact.
Right. And so that's so in the United States, the kind of the scary kind of outbreak that we see happening in Africa or places that just don't have the resources that we have here in the United States, the outbreak would look very different here, but it's still scary. It's an awful, horrifying way to go. And you mentioned this this vaccine that's being used. Is the vaccine effective in just preventing it, or does it ameliorate it?
Well, it really is a prevention, and that's what it's being used for. But as you said, in the United States, we have better medical systems to support people through the virus, so the fatality rate would probably be less. We don't want to find out.
Keeping but hydrated and properly taken
care of. Well, it says 1,000 cases in Congo with 629 lives claimed. That ratio is horrific.
It's horrible, but the last 2014 to 16, I think maybe 11,000 died. It was just a catastrophe because they didn't have the systems in place.
Got it.
Can I ask you also, there's another story that freaked me out. I mean, obviously.
Like you need another one of those. Yeah,
well, all right. Every medical story freaks me out. Not in front of the doctor. I'm trying to establish
okay.
credibility here,
Turn
Anna.
Okay.
In front of
got
him.
It. Totally
all right.
got it.
Wireless headphones. I've always, you know, the one thing about my phone that freaks me out, I'm too intimate with my phone. It's always, like, in my pocket. It's always, sometimes I have it on the pillow next to me because I can't get away from it. And, you know, there's people have been always concerned about their phones. But now wireless headphones are very hot. And there was a story about a potential cancer risk with wireless headphones. Is there one?
So this is a matter of debate. There's no evidence that there's one, but the World Health Organization has not discounted it entirely and says it's possible. So the neuroscientists I know keep their distance, and the neuroscientists I know don't let their kids wear the headphones or even have cell phones or iPads. So the neuroscientists are protecting.
Oh, good luck to them.
Oh, my gosh.
How do they go to a restaurant?
Yeah. So how do you live?
It's crazy. They buckle a long car trip. It's fine.
Sure.
But what they don't do is let their kids be on it for a long time. They really control it a lot
more. That is troubling.
Mm-hmm.
That is troubling.
I sleep sometimes in my wireless headphones.
Don't you? I mean, really.
I know. It's like well, what would the mechanism of that, what's the fear of the mechanism there?
Well, so these are microwave radiation, low frequency radiation. And so nobody really knows that there's any harm whatsoever. However, in talking to some neuroscientists, they say, yeah, and if we put this low frequency, there's two mechanisms. One, it generates heat, and heat can do some things, but we can see the cells changing a little bit, and we can see neurotransmitters changing a little bit. We don't know if it has any harm or not, but do I want my brain cells and neurotransmitters being affected by this?
No.
And so they say
no.
You know what? Maybe it does good.
Yeah,
but
maybe
for the
me,
kids, they don't do it.
And why kids? Yeah, explain that. Why the children
are
different.
Well, because brains are developing, and they don't want to take any risk with a more developing brain.
Right.
And so they want to stick to books and blocks and balls. They do not want their cell phones and iPads be the device, both for education and for the radiation. So
it's amazing. I remark all the time about how kids younger and younger now are given cell phones. You know, it's like what's the right age for that? It used to be, you know, when you were on your own, you're 13, you can go out with a friend and maybe you needed to call mom or dad to pick you up. But now I see 6 and 7 year olds, and my daughter asks, why don't I have one? And it's part of our lives.
It's part of our lives. I don't think it's something to fear, but the tech executives don't behave that way.
The tech execs don't do it either.
They don't do that with their kids.
What don't they do with their kids?
They don't give them.
Their kids hang on iPads forever.
I've read that before, like the big Silicon Valley guys.
Yeah, what do they know?
They're the ones making these things.
Come on! Wait a second!
Oh, wow.
Wait, what?
What?
All right, now, what about in your pocket? I always keep it in my back pocket as opposed to my front pocket, but should I, you know, that's, you know, close to the, you know what's close to the
life has risks. I have it in my pocket too, sorry to say.
Yeah.
There's a certain reality of life, but I don't think it should be completely unconscious, keeping it a little bit far away. Who cares? Who knows? I have exercised prudent caution. I don't ignore the risk, but I don't worry.
Is there a certain distance that is safe?
Yeah, it falls off exponentially, so it doesn't take a lot of distance. That's why the earbuds were a debate, because it's really some of them are transmitting
head,
closer into your brain. Yeah.
But don't sleep with your phone right next to your head.
Exactly.
Obviously. Ro?
again,
looking at you.
I just don't know. I just don't know. And now I've got to, you know, now I got to fight with Alexa, you know, and I got this whole thing going on in Siri, the two, because I sometimes call one by the other. And doctor, please don't do that, because they get very angry at you if you try that. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Dr. Jim Adams,
thanks,
Chief
Dr. Jim.
Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Memorial Healthcare. He is the new official doctor of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We will, now, it's funny because my doctor, my actual primary care physician, uh-huh. does not let me have his cell phone. It's a big deal. I've tried to get a cell phone. Give me your cell phone. And I go, no, that's okay. Use the app. You know, I use the portal that you guys have at Northwestern.
Sure.
And so he goes, no, just go there. And I go, well, it's got a lot of steps. I can get the cell phone. No. So then he ended up in a place where I would be able to find his cell phone.
Ooh.
Right? It was one of those situations where he ended up in a group of guys that was also a group of guys that I had.
Like on a group text or something?
And sort of like that. Mm-hmm. And I asked them to give me the cell phone, and they all said, hey, he told us not to give you the cell phone. So there you go. There you have the answer.
Yeah, not
give,
sure that helps.
Give
Dr.
Anna
Jim.
Your cell phone, doctor. Thank you very
We're
much.
We're happy you're here.
Appreciate it. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Ro will bring you part one of our series, Aurora Heals.
All right, I hope this was all very helpful today. I'm going to go boil my head during the news, so Kim, don't look for me.
Just use your cell phone. We can all give you our cell phones and put it by your head.
Just duct tape them around my head. Yeah.
Get it all done quickly.
Thanks for looking out for me. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Well, if it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go!
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it!
All right, let's do this. Checking in, and it's a full Jussie Smollett top 5.
Number 5.
All right, so prosecutors. See, now they did this to me. They wrote and produced this top 5 at 5.
Mm-hmm. Just
they
to
did
get
this
you going.
To me to see if they can get me to drop dead between now and 6 o'clock. That's what they did.
I looked ahead, and I did notice that there's material here that will make you, what did Lourdes say? En fuego.
I'm en fuegoloso, or whatever she said. Right. I'm out of my mind right now about this. I cannot believe that the Cook County State's Attorney dropped the charges, sealed the evidence,
wiped
in doing
his record
this,
clean.
Wiped his record clean, and without any explanation. Then, an hour later, the first assistant state's attorney for Cook County, we're going to get to this in a second here.
I know.
But comes out and says, oh, no, we still believe that he made it all up. But we're just not going to charge.
But where's the state's attorney, the elected official, Kim Fox? No public statement yet, given the unbelievable turn of events here.
Right. And she recused herself because she was too close to it. So now
because she was exchanging text messages with the Smollett family and Tina Chen, the former chief of Michelle Obama's staff. I mean, she had reached out on behalf of the Smollett family. So Kim Fox is on the record with the Chicago Tribune got these text messages showing she had interactions with them. So she recuses herself.
All right.
But the handling of this investigation, something doesn't feel right.
All right. So they dropped the charges against Empire star Jussie Smollett. Just weeks after he was indicted on 16 counts of disorderly conduct for filing a false police report. So here is Joseph Magots. He is the first assistant state's attorney, the number two in the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a politician, an actual on-the-line prosecutor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he says this.
He had no prior felony background. He had no history of violence. Like I said, it is a low-level felony. Based on all the facts and circumstances, we feel it was a just disposition in the case. Our goal and our number one priority is combating violent crime and the drivers of violence. And we look to use our resources to do that. And I don't think that Mr. Smollett is a driver of violence, and nor was he someone who's a violent criminal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that. I get it. But he is basically accused, the city of Chicago, for being this, you know, crazy town in which he was being targeted because of his poor, because he's this, you know, this guy who's, you know, he's a young actor who, because he's black and he's gay and he is you know, a double minority, I suppose, in that sense, is being targeted by racist haters. I'm sure that happens. I know that happens.
Sure.
But it didn't happen in this case.
No.
And to what end? What was Jussie Smollett looking for here? But don't get me started yet.
No.
So,
no, it's too soon.
But the question is, you dropped all of this, but did he still do it?
We stand behind the investigation and the facts that it revealed.
What does that mean?
It means that we believe he did what he was charged with doing.
So you believe that he lied on the police report?
Yes, this was not an exoneration. To say that he was exonerated by us or anyone else is not true.
So you believe he did fill out or complete a false police report?
Yes.
Oh, my God!
Well, that's going out on a limb.
My God!
He faked the whole thing is what is pretty clear here. It was two white guys with MAGA hats who attacked him, threw bleach on him, put a rope around his neck, right here by our studios downtown Chicago. This all happened, according to him.
Oh, my God!
Don't stare.
And I like how he says resources of the state's attorney's office. What are the resources of the police department here? The 20,000 some odd hours that detectives and police worked on this case, trying to understand what had happened to Jussie Smollett, taking his claim seriously while trying to see, as things started to fall apart, and followed every single lead, and including getting the two brothers, the Nigerian Americans, when they came back from Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
After escaping there.
Hold on. Here's one more from the first assistant state's attorney.
So, in return for him forfeiting his bond to the city of Chicago and doing community service, we agreed to dismiss the charges against him.
And that community service, what does that look like?
He did community service for Operation Push.
Okay.
Ro, I don't think I've ever heard you use that sound effect before.
I know. Okay. I was like, where'd that one come from?
This must be a red alert.
So he spent 16 hours performing community service at Rainbow Push, civil rights organization. Obviously, we know that. Worked in bookstores, sold merchandise, stuffed envelopes, spoke to students, and helped in the video department. Time served.
But why didn't they say that? Why are his lawyers out there going, he's totally vindicated? If they cut this deal, why won't they acknowledge that he cut this deal? That why won't they acknowledge that?
He's never acknowledged a thing. He said the very brief statement we heard from Jussie Smollett today said, I've been telling the 100% truth ever since every step of the way.
That contradicts what we just heard.
Right.
It all contradicts each other.
Exactly right.
Quit acting like the victim.
What are you doing? What are they doing? Checking in it.
Number four.
All right. So on Windy City Live today, mm-hmm. I just happened to be co-hosting with Val Warner when I walked into the office this morning over there, and they're like, you're not going to believe what happened. There was like a whole
kind of
a moment of they've dropped the charges against Jussie Smollett. He's just going for it. And the whole idea was they just dropped them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they couldn't possibly have just dropped the charges against Jussie Smollett, could they have? Well, we have the attorney for Jussie Smollett coming in to talk to us about this. And this is, and she's an esteemed attorney, Patricia Brown Holmes. She's been a local prosecutor, federal prosecutor. I think she was a judge, right? So she's like a very respected person. But I couldn't believe that they sent her out, that her client sent her out
to have to continue to tell this side of the story and pretend like there's nothing really going on here. Like this poor Jesse, like this poor guy who, when he told, he didn't have a voice, is what she said. He didn't have a voice, but he went on, Good Morning America! You can't get a bigger voice than that. Hold on.
All of a sudden, there's information out there that he has no idea where it's coming from. So he speaks. He's not, you know, being advised by anybody. And then
but he didn't have attorneys at that time.
Well, not advising him. Those were entertainment lawyers. They were not lawyers.
Criminal attorney. He actually did have a criminal defense attorney at that time, though. He had a very prominent one.
Criminal defense attorney who lives in California who came to Chicago.
But there was also a Chicago-based criminal defense attorney, Michael Monaco, that was with him.
You know, I don't know anything about Michael Monaco representing him.
Mm. Except he did.
Except that he did. Right?
It's at some point, the facts need to come out. It just still feels so hinky.
Why not present all the evidence and have the day in court?
Because why would you need a day in court when you didn't do anything? Why not have your case dismissed? If you're innocent until proven guilty, you don't have to have a day in court. Why have a day in court? And a day in court means that the process was fair, that you have not been there. There are Supreme Court rules on this. You can't try somebody in the court of public opinion and then say they're going to have a fair trial in front of 12, a jury of their peers if, you know, everything is tainted before you even get there.
Tainted?
How was it tainted?
What was tainted?
This is going to make my head explode.
Oh, gosh.
What? Oh, my God!
Forgetting there was a grand jury that delivered the reason to go forward on 16 felony charges against Jussie Smollett. That's not... those are real people, normal people in the community.
Now that this is all over, how should we believe him?
Because the individuals who testified and who said that they attacked him said that they said the things that he heard.
But these are people known to him.
Okay, so your friend is known to you. Your friend decides to do something that you don't know that they're going to do. All of a sudden, you're guilty because they decided to do something to you.
But wouldn't he be able to
People
immediately
have been raped
identify
by their
them?
Boyfriends? Oh, all of a sudden, the boyfriend's not a rapist.
What? Wait.
He's saying he has no connectivity to his two friends staging a hate attack against him.
What? Did the Osundero brothers attack Jussie Smollett, according to your client? Did they attack him? Are those people he's identified?
As far as I know, they have said that they did attack him.
Does he believe they attacked him?
I don't know if he believes they attacked him. He did not see and know who the attackers was. It wasn't as if he says, hey, you attacked me and I know you. He didn't know.
How does he not know?
They were his trainers, right?
Right!
Personal fitness trainers, and they also had small parts on Empire.
All right!
This doesn't add up.
This is continuing on.
Strange defense.
Wait, are you telling me you have one more of these? No, okay, good.
I'm sure you could live through one more.
All right, I'm going to... You know what? I'll get to your 3 and your 2 and your 1 coming up. Let me stop right now first. And
deep
find
breaths.
Out... From Kim, what's coming up in the news?
The Mueller report may be available sooner than later.
Oh, God! All right. Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Because I've lost my mind, and it's an all Jussie Smollett version of the Top 5 at 5, we're going to continue it on into the second half of the 5 o'clock hour, after the bottom of the hour news. Because, as you know, Dr. Jim Adams is here from Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Adams, he went back to the green room because he was afraid to leave. I was so animated. He walked, my head is like it's like a red lollipop right now. My blood pressure is so high because of this Jussie Smollett thing. I don't get what just happened.
It doesn't add up.
I mean,
ever seen a little movie called Law Abiding Citizen?
Have not.
Ooh, I recommend it because that's all I can think of today, and it talks about how our justice system, there's so many loopholes, and people should start to question it. They should. This does not feel like
really?
Justice.
Really? We can start to question it now. I need a movie to prove that I have to question it now.
No.
I saw what just happened. I mean, and this is it's the craziest thing ever. The state attorney's office has said, oh, no, he totally lied. But we dropped the charges, and we're sealing it.
Mm-hmm. He spent a couple hours at Rainbow Push on Saturday and yesterday, and that's time served, community service. We'll keep the $10,000 bond, and we wipe his record clean.
And then he gets to go out and say, I was totally vindicated. I mean, we've seen that already once this week. He's not the only guy doing it. It's very fashionable now. Totally vindicated. But we don't get to see the report that vindicates him, because it doesn't vindicate him.
The
stands by, and he's like, I didn't lie. Wait till you get to the... We're going to play this in the top five of five coming up. Wait till you hear this. All right, hold on. Kim Gordon, she's got news, and that's coming your way in 2 minutes. We're continuing the top five at five.
Yes.
Because there's so much of the tape from today. The big story in Chicago, which is now the big story in the nation, is the Jussie Smollett story that the Cook County State's Attorney's Office dropped all the charges today against Jussie Smollett. The 16 charges of mopery that they charged him with.
Felonies.
Right. Aggravated mopery. They dropped him, and then he went out and said, hey, look, I'm totally vindicated here. I stand by my story. Nothing else happened here. But that's not what happened. For some reason, the Cook County State's Attorney decided, because he did 16 hours of community service, which they didn't tell us until just now.
No, part of it was yesterday.
Yeah,
by the way.
Oh,
I know.
My
I know.
God.
I know.
Oh, my. Really? Oh, God. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. He did 16 hours of community service. He worked in the library at Operation Push.
Right. Video department. He helped arrange for... He did some paperwork, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do it if he did nothing wrong?
Right. If he stands by his story.
Jussie, if you did nothing wrong, why did you do that?
Because he's such a stand-up guy, Kevin.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Number three.
This is Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson and Rahm Emanuel, who are at a police graduation today at Navy Pier. That's always a beautiful thing.
And they got blindsided by this news, by the way.
While they were at the police graduation, they get their phones are blowing up with texts like, you're not going to believe what Kim Fox just did. Even though Kim Fox is recused from this, we can't really officially state until she comes out and says
something.
No, I had nothing to do with this. I recused myself because I happened to have had contact with his family while we were looking into this from the very beginning, because somehow Jussie Smollett is close with the Obamas, and that somehow there was a conversation between, blah, 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 talk to blah, blah, who, and then the next thing you know, she was able to get him to come in for questioning, and then somehow now, 2 months later, they're dropping all of the charges. I don't even understand exactly what's going on. But here is, I just want to say this. Is it going to be Eddie Johnson? Here's Superintendent Johnson.
My personal opinion is that you all know where I stand on this. Do I think justice will serve? No. Where do I think justice is? I think this city is still owed an apology. And let me digress for a moment. When I came on this job, I've been a cop now for about 31 years. When I came on this job, I came on with my honor, my integrity, and my reputation. If someone accused me of doing anything that would circumvent that, then I would want my day in court, period, to clear my name.
Hold on. There's more.
I've heard that they wanted their day in court with TV cameras so America could know the truth. And though they chose to hide behind secrecy and broker a deal to circumvent the judicial system. My job as a police officer is to investigate an incident, gather evidence, gather the facts, and present them to the state's attorney. That's what we did. I stand behind the detective's investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And to have no correspondence either, not mentioned to the folks who've been working on the investigation with you. Hey, we're going to just so you know, this is going to happen. They blindside them. It just speaks to the whole sort of secrecy of what has gone on here.
Prosecutors have their discretion, of course. We still have to work with the state's attorney's office. I'm sure we'll have some conversation this. But again, at the end of the day, it's Mr. Smollett who committed this hoax, period. If he wanted to clear his name, the way to do that was in a court of law so that everyone could see the evidence. You all know what the bond proffer said. You know, we all know what it said. So, you know, I stand by the facts of what we produced. If they want to dispute those facts, then the place to do that is in court.
And so does the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Can you go back and play that part where the first assistant state's attorney says they stand by the Chicago Police Department? I know we're not
doing it.
We're not doing this in the order of the top five of five, but I got to do it anyway. I got to do it anyway because it's driving me crazy. How could the Cook County State's Attorney cut a deal with your state's attorney?
We stand behind the investigation and the facts that it revealed.
What does that mean?
It means that we believe he did what he was charged with doing.
Okay.
So you believe that he lied on the police report?
Yes, this was not an exoneration. To say that he was exonerated by us or anyone else is not true.
So you believe he did fill out complete a false police report?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What's happening?
Now, wait a second.
What is happening
wait,
here?
Wait. You want to see? You're going to watch my head actually explode right now.
I think I am.
Yeah, no, you are. I'll tell you why. Because
number two,
here's Jesse Smollett when he gets out of the courtroom.
This is beautiful.
He comes out of the courtroom after he just got the best buddy pass ever.
Right.
Ever.
Full of humility, right?
First of all, I want to thank my family, my friends, the incredible people of Chicago, and all over the country and the world who have prayed for me, who have supported me, who have shown me so much love. No one will ever know how much that has meant to me, and I will forever be grateful.
All right. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
Yep.
I want you to know that not for a moment was it in vain. I have been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one. I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I have been accused of. This has been an incredibly difficult time, honestly one of the worst of my entire life. But I am a man of faith, and I am a man that has knowledge of my history, and I would not bring my family, our lives, or the movement through a fire like this. I just wouldn't.
Oh, my God!
My favorite part is when he said, I will continue to fight for justice and inequality.
Hold on!
Did you say that? We have that?
So I want to thank my legal counsel from the bottom of my heart. And I would also like to thank the state of Illinois for attempting to do what's right.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like nothing more than to just get back to work and move on with my life. But make no mistakes, I will always continue to fight for the justice, equality, and betterment of marginalized people everywhere. So again, thank you for all the support. Thank you for faith. And thank you to God.
What about this feels just? Does this feel like justice? It's certainly not equal. Who else would get this treatment?
This feels like a mouthful of sand. Just this whole thing.
I can't believe what I just heard. And neither can Rahm Emanuel. Now, Rahm Emanuel is unhinged now, right? He has been decoupled from political constraint.
Mm-hmm.
He could say whatever the bleep he wants to about this, and therefore he is ending up at
number one.
This is a whitewash of justice. A grand jury could not have been clearer. To then say not only is the cost $10,000 doesn't come cost financially, but all the other repercussions of this decision it made, to me, where is the accountability in the system? You cannot have, because of a person's position, one set of rules apply to them, and another set of rules apply to everybody else.
That's the saddest part of it. It just doesn't feel like justice. It feels like if you're a celebrity and you have powerful friends and politically connected friends and you have them call in on your behalf, it just, this part of this whole thing just stinks. It doesn't...
But
feel right.
But the thing about this is that it wasn't like he got a DUI or he was, he shoplifted or he did something. The whole thing here was to do a publicity stunt. Not that a DUI or shoplifting is good. I'm not saying that. No. What I'm saying is this wasn't like a crime.
He created
that he
this whole thing.
He went and out of malice aforethought decided he was going to go and create this publicity stunt and tarnish the already pretty dinged up reputation of the city of Chicago and take the Chicago Police Department with him.
Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him? After everybody saw, and I want to remind you, this is not the superintendent's word against his. The grand jury, a sliver of the evidence, and they came to a conclusion. As did the state's attorney's office. This is not the superintendent and the detective's department word against his. And even after this whitewash, still no sense of ownership of what he's done. He says that, in fact, he is the wrong in this case.
Unbelievable. You just wonder where it goes from here. That I think that's a question a lot of us have. Like, what happens now? Do the feds continue with their charges for sending threats through the mail and some of those things that seem to be sitting on the sidelines with the Postal Service? Does the police department file a civil suit? Is there an investigation of how Kim Vox's office handled this whole thing, whether things were handled properly? She's not coming out and talking today.
This is an unbelievable, not just whitewash of justice, this is a person now who's been let off scot-free with no sense of accountability of the moral and ethical wrong of his actions. From top to bottom, not only besmirching the name of the city, but then I cannot stress that in a time when you have people bringing a moral equivalency in Virginia between bigots and those fighting bigotry, then you have a person using hate crime laws that are on the books to protect people who are minorities from violence, to then turn around and use those laws to advance your career and your financial reward. Is there no decency in this man?
Really well said. So much better said than all of my ranting and raving here today. But he's 100% right that it is morally indecent, and it is triply morally indecent for the state's attorney's office and specifically for Kim Fox to allow this to happen. She has got to step up here. She has recused herself, but she knows the state. This is not about the law anymore. That's done. He has been relieved of all charges. He's free to go. But this is about protecting the integrity of the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, because that's what's wrong with this. This is the problem. This is the equivalent of a bomb threat. Why do people go and prosecute extortionate threats? Why do they do that? Because you don't want to encourage people to do things like this.
And then he hides behind some sort of movement. What does he keep talking about with this movement? Like he's leading the charge for something. Like, he's the victim here.
But that's the problem. What he's done is that real victims, there are victims every day in this country, every night in this country, of people who are targeted because of their race or because of their ethnicity or their sexual orientation. And he's taken all of that and he's made a mockery out of it. We had, according to the Chicago Police Department, we had a young man, a 23-year-old, just starting out his career as a guardian at the gate in this city, as a Chicago police officer, who was gunned down this weekend as a, in his civilian car, in his civilian clothes, going out for beer and pizza after his shift of being on the west side, writing up a murder report, leaves that job. First year on the job, goes and he's sitting in his car with his girlfriend and two other friends, and a guy comes up and murders him, according to the police, because he just wanted to kill an Hispanic because he got into a beef with a bunch of other people who were Hispanic at the Rock and Roll McDonald's. That is the kind of stuff that happens. And when you make this crap up like Jussie Smollett did, you then mitigate all of the good work that the that lawmakers and law enforcement and everybody else has tried to do here to make our streets safer. And if he doesn't get it, and then has the gall, the audacity to step out in front of the cameras today after he leaves the courtroom and goes, I stand by my story, and, you know, I don't want to thank the people of, you know, the state of Illinois for seeing it my way. Go blank yourself, you complete a-hole!
Well said. ABC News is reporting the FBI and U.S. Postal Inspection Service are continuing their probe into whether or not Jussie Smollett.
They're going to politicize that, though.
Played a role.
Watch Jussie Smollett's people turn that and say that's Trump coming after him. Watch that.
But that doesn't make sense when it's their people who are reaching out to state's attorney Kim Fox, the prominent, you know, like the people who were reaching out on his behalf wanted this whole thing shifted to the FBI. They didn't want it in the police department's hands. So now the FBI is looking into part of it.
Oh, it doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
It really doesn't.
Which is the theme, I think, we're working with here.
Oh, my God.
The top five at five.
Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news?
Chicago Public Schools sharing their vision for the future.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720.
Yes, it is.
WGN.
We need those commercial breaks just to sort of, like, you know, compose ourselves again. And when I say yes, I mean you.
This is the biggest blizzard that I've had in my brain in years in terms of I'm having so much cognitive dissonance right now. I don't know how this happened today.
No. It's
none of this makes any sense.
Baffling, to say the least.
Right. I mean, how is it? How? All right. The guy who used to be with the U.S. Marshal Service here, John O'Malley, who's been a legal and crime-fighting analyst for us for the last number of months, joins us. Now, you've been around this town a long time.
Yes, sir.
Have you not?
Yes.
We're going to do this like a deposition.
and please don't say legal analyst. My wife will be in my case, being right. the attorney that she is.
A law enforcement analyst. You're not a legal analyst. You're a law enforcement analyst.
Correct.
Okay. So I want you to represent, because we already had the FOP on to talk about
this,
but I want you to represent law enforcement writ large. I want you to represent the idea of what is, you know, the guys who's, I mean, you've been in a gunfight before. You know what this is like. Guys who strap on the bulletproof vest every day and they go out and they have to wrangle up bad guys. Jussie Smollett, 2 months ago, on one of the coldest nights of the year, goes to an emergency room, and they call police to say that he has been the victim of a hate crime. And you got a couple of Chicago police detectives have to go there and interview him and continue on with this investigation.
Right.
Because and let's face it, I mean, this is a heater case. Because he's a celebrity. He's claiming that he was accosted based on his race and his sexual identity.
Right.
He says that he had been the victim of receiving hate mail that was threatening, menacing mail that would be considered also criminal.
Correct.
And that people weren't paying enough attention to it where they shoot Empire here. And the next thing you know on TMZ and everywhere else the next day is Jussie Smollett, victim of a hate crime in Chicago. The president of the United States, not exactly a guy who is known for his empathy or sympathy, says it's absolutely terrible what happened to him the next day when asked.
That's right.
Right? April Ryan from Urban Radio Networks asked him in the Oval Office, and he gets all like sort of maudlin about it. And then the Chicago Police Department, again, I just want to go through this, John, because I'm just making myself feel better by explaining this. The Chicago Police Department goes through 20,000 hours of investigation in this, of man hours. They are able to, and this is a pretty amazing thing, they're able to use all of the technology available to backtrack from the incident. They're able to pick up on all, because it happened right down here. There's cameras everywhere. They're able to figure out They see Jussie Smollett going and getting a sandwich. They see him going and walking in this one area. They see these other two guys.
Right. He fought off the attackers with the tuna sandwich and the cell phone, and he chanted, remember?
Now, what's interesting about that is that you see that, you know, according to the police, that they actually have had video evidence of these guys walking friendly together and looking up at a camera. And then when the
same guys,
and then when the attack took place, that it took place and they missed the camera that they were pointing up at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the story that we have been told.
And his ABC Good Morning America interview.
And then he goes on Good Morning America. He goes on Good Morning America and says he's a victim in this,
correct?
Right. Although police, and it is an unusual circumstance that there are police that are reaching out. And this happens, I know from time to time, law enforcement will reach out to the press and say, members of the press, people that they know well, it's just like in the movies, and they go, hey, you know, here's what we know or we don't know. And they either want us to help with an investigation by giving us certain kinds of information that we will say publicly because it's news reporting, and that moves their investigation one way or the other. It's been done.
That's right. That's a tactic.
It's a tactic that's used by law enforcement. Not illegal, but it is done all the time. Now, the opposite happened here. The opposite. It was like, whoa, wait, be careful. This may not end up being what you think. We're still investigating. We're going to figure this out. And they never, ever said, they never broke bad. The police command never broke bad. They were like, Jussie Smollett is still a victim, until they were able to get these two guys after the attack, and I'm using air quotes when I say the attack, got on an airplane and went to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm, which is what you do usually, right? After you... Said
no one ever, and then they land back here. They grab these guys up, they bring them up, and they're like, oh, wait a second. You mean you have video of us? And they figured it out, who these guys were. They figured out based on their receipts. They even had the video of them buying the rope that was the noose
tied around Smollett's neck, and it was great detective work.
And I think that the attack was scheduled on the evening it was because of their.
Departure to Nigeria. That's what they claim.
That's correct.
And,
according to the brothers, right.
And the thing is that Jussie Smollett is still claiming the entire time, well, I didn't, you know, I don't know who these people are. But yet, they worked on the set of Empire, and he personally wrote them a check for $3,500, which he says was for fitness, because these guys are workout dudes, and there were for training and for nutrition advice. I believe him on that. I'll give you that, Jussie Smollett, that's what that $3,500 was. But you know them. They are known to you. They are not two random guys in MAGA hats screaming, this is MAGA country, beating the guy up.
No, they had a relationship. They had been on the Empire set as extras, and they were training him.
They were working for him.
Right.
That's right.
Right? I know the people who work for me. If Kevin Powell attacked me, even if he was all bundled up, I would know it was Kevin Powell.
I would never do that.
So the point is...
Yes.
Tonight, as these guys are getting ready to do third watch here...
Yep.
Or they're on third watch now. Why would they do their job?
Well, so you made some excellent points. And on this particular case, the police department was in a catch-22. Because had they not... put all the resources into it that they did initially, and then throughout the case, they would have been accused of not investigating this crime or taking it seriously. And as you said, what they referred to as a heater case. They did exactly that because they were presented a potential hate crime, potential civil rights violation crime, all sorts of things. So they had to investigate it to the best of their ability to get to the bottom of the story. Once they started doing that, they started turning over information that led to where we were. Led to the grand jury presentation and the indictment on 16 felony counts.
16, and that's a lot.
Absolutely. And then the police department, for a while there, if you remember when it first came out, when he was charged, they were criticized for putting too much attention into the case. Why are they investigating this so hard and heavy, yet they won't investigate a murder on the west or south side? So they got criticized,
They got the trick back,
up
no matter
and
what
down
they did,
and sideways.
Thing, right.
And now,
which, by the way, there's an answer. I got to answer this because I said this earlier. This drives me nuts. There is a reason that this was an easier investigation for them because there are cameras and witnesses who are willing to cooperate.
Cooperation, correct? Absolutely.
Which they do not get in most gang crimes. They don't get any cooperation. That's just part of the deal.
That's correct. That the cooperation is very limited, even if they have some forensic evidence, cameras, physical, otherwise. You know, and another thing I want to make clear so everyone understands, the police or law enforcement in general, and Eddie Johnson, I think, also explained this today, their job is to investigate and gather the evidence. That is then turned over to the prosecuting authority, who in this case was the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. They make the ultimate decision whether or not to charge or the deal they made today. The police department is sometimes consulted and involved in that process, but it sounds like they were not in this case. But they don't bring the charges. The prosecuting authority, such as the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, is the one who brings charges against mm-hmm. a defendant.
And Kim Fox recused herself from this because of those.
Well, we know why she recused contacts. Herself because of the contact. Right. So, therefore, she can't respond to some of these questions by the public and by the media.
But can't she now come out?
She should. The case is finished.
Right.
Whatever.
Charges right. dropped.
Charges have dropped. The case has been adjudicated.
Yeah, they can't charge him again on this, right? This double jeopardy.
They cannot.
They can't. The feds
can't. They cannot. What? Right.
Well, talk about that—the federal piece of this, because there were always it was always out there, hanging kind of in the background, that the feds could make could charge him for the sending through the mail the false threats.
Sure. So there's a couple of things that the federal government may have been involved with, and potentially could still be involved with. That is right. That he it was reported that a letter was received to the studios, threatening in nature, based on his race and his sexual orientation. That would have been investigated potentially as a civil rights violation, a criminal civil rights case by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And then you would have had the U.S. Postal Inspection Service looking into if the mail was used in a crime and mm-hmm. how that occurred. I don't know. There's been no indication, but he could potentially have been interviewed by either postal inspectors or FBI agents. And if he was... and he told the same story,
yeah,
and we know that's a lie. It's a federal violation, 18 U.S.C. 1001, if I recall, mm-hmm. Of lying to a federal agent that they can use, and they often prosecute on the federal side of the house. So I just don't know.
Can we not forget this is not the first time he's lied to law enforcement?
Right.
Remember,
well,
he misrepresented himself in a DUI as his own relative.
He said he was his brother. Right. During he was charged with false impersonation in that case and driving without a license after telling the officer it was his brother Jake and not him.
Correct.
And this driving
was,
that car.
I think in 2000, what was it?
Eight? 2007 in Los Angeles. Yeah. He signed a false statement saying that he was his brother.
So we just don't know how involved the federal investigation was. And then once the Chicago Police Department brought their information to Cook County State's Attorney's Office, they went to a grand jury, he got indicted. I don't know if the federal government, if they had any inclination of filing charges, just kind of stepped back because he was facing state felony charges, or, you know, what they'll do now. If they were even consulted about this, what happened today, I doubt it. So who knows what will happen with that.
Why? I mean, how does Kim Fox show up? It's one thing for coppers to go out on the street and do what they got to go do tonight.
Yeah.
What men and women who are going out there and risking their lives and thinking, even if I do my job right, why am I doing my job? Which, without question, is leading to a lot of the stresses that we're seeing have very tragic consequences in this department.
Absolutely. And it's no secret that there is a strained relationship already with the Chicago Police Department and the Cook County State's Attorney's Office.
Right.
This, obviously...
does not help.
Does not help and doesn't go a long way to try and mend those fences.
I don't know how she stands up in front of her lawyers. I just don't know how she does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because there was so much attention, so much work that was put into this case. And, you know, you saw the mayor and the superintendent obviously said what they had to say, called it a whitewash of justice. And the first assistant, state's attorney, came out and said he stands behind the charges that were filed, stands behind the case the Chicago Police Department put together. So something just is not passing the test of why the case was handled the way it was handled.
One piece of this that just bothers me even more than all the rest is that the fact that at the end of all of this, these suspicious circumstances and questions that so many of us have, that then they sealed this.
Yeah, very unusual. And, you know, I heard on your show earlier, which is correct, that a lot of times if there is an underage victim, there's a specific reason to seal that case file, then of course, you know, that's done. Now,
well, and they're arguing. I mean,
because he's a celebrity?
His attorney had the audacity to say, well, this happens all the time.
No.
And it does not happen all the time. And if they
it's an unusual circumstance.
That this is a hate crime, and therefore they seal hate crimes, which they do, this isn't a hate crime. This is a hate hoax.
Right.
And the state's attorney, the first assistant state's attorney, said it. Today,
he did.
After they already let the guy go.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Hold on. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
John O'Malley. Kim.
Roe, the owner of the New England Patriots, appears headed to trial at his prostitution case.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories, Micah and Joe, Micah Matera and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so what does all of this mean for the election? That's the question. We already knew yesterday that Lori Lightfoot had a 3-1 lead at this point over her opponent, Tony Preckwinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Preckwinkle, not only did she kind of get associated with, you know, sort of, you know, the bossiness of Chicago, right? You know, she was associated with the Burks and the Madigans and all that, right? Part of the process, you know, part of the whole infrastructure here. And so that seems to have played poorly for Tony Preckwinkle, but there is no clearer connection. You know, Tony Preckwinkle can get away from Madigan and Burke and all those people if she'd like to and say, well, I was always the outsider. The one person in the most identified other political figure in Chicago that Tony Preckwinkle is associated with is Kim
orbit.
Fox.
For sure.
Kim Fox was her hand-picked state's attorney.
She worked with her.
So that's not going to go well, I don't think. We'll find out from our political director. John Fritchie will join us to talk about that coming up in just a few minutes after Kim Gordon gives you the news, which is 2 little minutes away. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
What a day.
I had a lot of things to get to today, too.
I know.
And I just
had to wipe it all clean.
Yeah. Like they did Jussie Smollett's record.
Just like that. Gone. Drop the charges. Seal the record.
Oh.
Good luck.
Oh. 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 All right. So the election is a week from today. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Last time I checked.
1 week from today. Of course, you can always vote early if you'd like to, but yes, Election Day is April 2nd, 1 week from today.
So the mayor's race has two contestants. You got Lori Lightfoot. She's an attorney, private practice, been involved in public boards and things like that, but never an elected official, right? And not really a government person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Tony Preckwinkle, who was a teacher, but then became, you know, started to get involved in public service and alderman and all of those kinds of things. And then, you know, eventually the Cook County Board president. And very, very, very associated with Kim Fox, the state's attorney, who I firmly believe is the patient zero of this complete F-up that has happened with Jussie Smollett and all of this. Because somehow she got involved with the family and getting Jussie Smollett. She had contact, had to recuse herself from the prosecution here. And now her office has just decided to drop the charges. However, the first assistant state's attorney, Kim Fox's number two in the office, comes out and goes, yeah, we still believe the police, but we dropped the charges anyway. Well, because, you know, it was nonviolent criminal. What are you going to do? Well, it's a high-profile deal. Right? I mean, it's like...
And you had 16 felony, you know, the grand jury
right.
announced 16 felony charges they should move forward with.
So here's what the mayoral candidate said. This is a forum that was on Fox 32 today that was between the Lincoln Forum and oh, yeah. Fox did this. So let's start with what Lori Lightfoot said.
I have a lot of questions as to why these charges were dismissed. I don't, from what I understand, there wasn't a fulsome explanation of that, and I think the public deserves to hear it. I also want to know what the terms were of that dismissal. I worry, of course, about any potential liability, i.e., can Smollett now come back and sue the police, particularly because his public comments and those of his lawyers were no acceptance of responsibility whatsoever for the underlying allegations. So I think we need to know a lot more, but I'm concerned with what we know so far.
Oh, come back and sue. Please, Jesse. Please sue. Please sue the city of Chicago for this.
Wouldn't recommend that.
I would love to see it. All right, so there's Lori Lightfoot's take on it. What was Tony Preckwinkle's take on it?
You know, I don't know the specifics of the state's attorney's opinion on why they decided to drop the charges. And I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not the state's attorney. And I think it's really important that the state's attorney be allowed to provide a more a fuller explanation as time goes on. But you know, I've been concerned about equity in our criminal justice system for my entire public life, and particularly worked hard on these issues over the last 8 years. And it's really important that the public believe that everyone is treated fairly in our criminal justice system.
What?
Fairly?
What? I mean,
who else would have gotten that deal?
It couldn't have been better. I do love when people running for high office declare their incompetency in an answer. Well, I really don't know. Yeah, I got, you know, I'm not a lawyer.
Why would I know any of these things?
I wouldn't really have any idea what's going on. Yeah. You know, why would I do that? All right, political director of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, John Fritchie joins us. John, where does this all break out politically?
Did I miss anything in the news today?
It's been a little busy.
I've got to tell you what, you know, I'm a former assistant attorney general. I've been around this for who knows how long, decades, literally. Never seen anything like this in my life, you know, let alone the state's attorney who was overseeing it being like, no, I totally think he's guilty. You know, but based on the nature of this, you know, we're deciding to, you know, drop these charges. This is not a guy who stole an Xbox out of Target. You know, and had no priors. I mean, this is something, you know, if Jesse Smollett's done one thing, is to unify the city. Every sector is, you know, upset by what happened here. Let me throw this out there, though. The story may not be done. There's a few different things that could happen here. Obviously, the feds are still out there, and they could go after him on federal charges based on the letter that was sent that was falsified. So, you know, that's sitting out there. Whether the feds would feel the pressure to do that or not remains to be seen. Something that I think is interesting that I don't think anybody else has talked about is this. Given Kim Fox's recusal and given that he never went to trial, so there's no double jeopardy, she could say, hey, we're asking the DuPage state's attorney to come in as special prosecutor and let them take over the case. They could re-review the evidence and proceed accordingly, and I think we could all assume how they would proceed. You know, no different than when they brought in a different state's attorney to deal with the Van Dyke case.
Yeah, but how is that not double jeopardy if you do it at the state level? The federal level, jeopardy, I'd understand, but state level?
Double jeopardy only attaches if you've had a finding of innocence. Not only was there no finding in this case, there was no trial or no hearing. They filed charges against him, and they dropped those charges. So double jeopardy doesn't apply here, and that's something to think about. And the other thing that would be kind of interesting, and when you listen to Mayor Emanuel today, and you know he won't be around long enough for this, but something that would be very interesting is for the city to go after Smollett for the costs involved in the countless hours that were spent by the police department and other agencies in looking at this. Remember, they don't have to prove his guilt by a reasonable doubt. They just have to say there's a preponderance of evidence here. He filed a false police report. We spent all this money trying to track down what really
happened.
And
here's what our investigation showed.
That's correct. And based on that, it was false, and we're entitled to X number of dollars. Now, I don't think I've ever seen a situation like that happen, but if there was ever a situation that warranted looking at it, this would be it. You know, there's a number of innocent victims here, which is this. Think about how many real victims of real crimes
could have maybe had their perpetrators caught if the police were freed up working on other cases rather than on this case. You know, it's a real disservice that he did to every protected class with the hate crime claim. But then additionally, he took so many police and so many detectives off of other cases for this.
Yes and no. I mean, the police are making the case that these were all officers that would have been assigned in similar cases like this. Yes, in those first couple of days, there was a lot of intense. It was lucky that it was so cold; it was a low crime. This is again the stupidity of this, that he went out and he did this on the coldest night of the year, and then said, "Look at these guys just found me on the street." It's right. Like no one's on the street,
no one, and then said, "This is mega country in downtown Chicago."
Yeah, get known for it. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the politics of this. Tony Preckwinkle is very associated with Kim Fox, the state's attorney, and Lori Lightfoot is not. But Lori Lightfoot, you know, she alluded to some of the things that you just brought up, that nexus of, you know, where's the lawsuit on this, and, you know, what happens next? Will he sue? That's the other question. Will Smollett sue for, you know, false prosecution or whatever that is?
Well, malicious prosecution, and again, he wasn't prosecuted. Charges were filed, charges were dropped, and I think there's a lot of people that would love for him to try to do that. They would love that. But let me just touch real quick again. When you talk about, you know, the police and that they would have been investigating similar crimes, they would have been investigating real crimes.
Right, that's true. Yes, you know, I get
not,
that.
Not make-believe crimes, and then for Smollett to walk away and play the victim card again. You know, he was a victim because he got attacked. He was a victim because nobody believed him. And now he's the victim because he was wrongfully, you know, charged. But that's not what we're here for. Let's talk about the mayoral race.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to get back to that. All right,
I'm trying to get myself back on track.
going into this, Lori Lightfoot has a 53-17 lead, according to the most recent poll, over Tony Preckwinkle. Could Tony and that's, by the way, Tony Preckwinkle started this the night after the election at 31%, and she worked her way down to 17%. That's the wrong direction, I think. Could Tony Preckwinkle get down to 5% before this is all said and done? Where does this go?
Well, you know, she is seemingly hell-bent on proving that everybody in her inner circle, you know, can do more damage to her than the last one. And, you know, this has happened time and time again, whether it was one of her campaign advisors, whether it's the incendiary comments made by Bobby Rush. You know, now Kim Fox, while independently elected, Kim Fox is widely seen as Tony Preckwinkle's person.
Right.
And, you know, so Tony's kind of boxed in. Does she throw her person under the bus, or does she try to stay outside of this fray? And you can't stay outside of this fray. So I think this is yet another nail in the coffin of the Preckwinkle campaign. And with 7 days left, you know, it seems to me that the white towel, the white flag has been raised, the towel has been thrown in, whatever else you want to think. I mean, that campaign has gone, you know, virtually silent. And, you know, when you get to the point of a female African-American playing the race card against another female African-American candidate, you know, you reach desperate times in a campaign.
Yeah.
So something like this is, you know, yet another unforced error by the Preckwinkle campaign. There's nothing that they could have done about it, but, you know, it hurts her. It helps Lori, a former federal prosecutor. And, you know, I think, you know, the fat lady may not be singing, but she's off on stage left warming up.
But we've talked about this before, that both of these candidates are presenting themselves as reformers, progressives for sure, but also, you know, changing the system reformers. And Kim Fox was her chief of staff, Preckwinkle's chief of staff, and has very, you know, she's connected to her in so many ways, was, you know, basically supported by her financially and otherwise in the race for state's attorney. She is linked to her. And if this is truly about reforming the corrupt systems of government that we see and are seeing, you know, and that they've been answering the questions about throughout this campaign, wouldn't you want to call for some sort of investigation just to understand what exactly happened there to make sure everything was done the way it was supposed to? Because this whole sealed nature is just leaving everybody, I think, with a bad taste in their mouth.
Well, listen, I mean, let's be blunt about this. Even if she didn't mean it, and it wouldn't be the first thing she said that she didn't mean, say, you know, I'm going to call for an investigation. I think that the state's attorney needs to be held accountable to answer questions. You know, take some type of leadership stance. You're looking to be the leader of this city.
Right.
You know, you're now talking about the county board president. You know, being asked to take lead over the county and say, I demand answers. The public deserves answers. Unseal the filing. There's no reason for that filing to be sealed.
No.
But to take the, you know, take a very direct question about an issue that everybody understands. The Smollett issue is not rocket science. People are like, hey, he did it. There's proof he did it. They let him walk.
All right, let me ask you a really quick question. Dave Jennings has a quick question for you. Go ahead.
Hey, John, does Kim Fox survive this? Or is she going to end up having to resign?
Two-part question. This will not rise to the level of getting her to resign. You know, the political cycles get shorter and shorter. I think that this is a issue that will be a large campaign issue when she seeks re-election, presuming she seeks re-election. So, yes. All right. You know, does this have lasting ramifications for her? 100%.
I'm calling for her to resign. As a citizen of the city, a citizen of this county, as a longtime observer of the political condition here, she needs to go. She needs to step down. What has happened here is the final nail in the coffin between she and the local law enforcement that she depends on to do her job. So that's where it stands. John, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, folks. Right. You guys take care.
Our political director, John Fritchie. All right, let's check in now with David. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
You may have had the charges dropped against you, Jussie Smollett, but you haven't been exonerated.
And now, a special edition from Kevin Powell of Powell's Howl.
Time now for Powell's Howl. The ravings, rantings, and occasionally incoherent babble.
It's kind of a big deal.
Of Kevin Powell.
That's one of the most anticipated bear seasons in well over a decade. Double doink, forget about it. Parker, you're done. See you, don't need you. Well, I'm not completely over it just yet.
No, wait, let me say something.
Fasten your seatbelts, though. The start of the season just got a whole lot juicier. Bears, Packers on the lakefront September 5th. Clear your schedule. A Thursday night primetimer at Soldier to kick off the NFL's 100th season. Is anyone not thinking Bears Super Bowl? Let's go. It's in Miami this season, by the way.
Hell yeah.
You hear Bears, Packers, and you just kind of perk up a little bit. No matter the time of year, the history, the rivalry, the hatred, it'll be the 199th meeting. 100th NFL season, 100th Bears season. Just feels right to kick it off this way. Usually the Super Bowl winner begins the season with a Thursday night showdown, but get out of the way, Tom, Bill, and Bobby K. Go take a trip to the Orchids Asia Spa.
She, give you everything you want. Long time.
Bears are here. Charter franchise will own the spotlight in early September. I know baseball's opening day is right around the corner, but man, football season can't get here soon enough.
My philosophy is the same as yours. Kick the other team's ass.
All right, here he is.
Yeah.
Justin Kaufman.
Jordan Kaplan. Oh, Justin Kaufman is here. And this is
short
it's
show tonight.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you too, buddy.
What's happening?
Well, we got the Hawks game tonight.
Some
later out
right?
there. So 8:30 pregame. So we'll just be keeping the seat warm until John and Troy take over at 8:30. But tonight we'll talk a little Jussie Smollett, of course, because I don't think you covered. I was waiting all afternoon for you to talk about it.
I couldn't shut up. I have never been so out of my mind about something that's happened in Chicago in at least 3 months. I mean, it is like, this is driving me insane.
We'll talk about it. I'm interested. We have a legal analyst on, a lawyer, and we're going to talk about how many lawyers have said they have never seen this kind of deal done. The idea that right there in the surprise, early in the trial or early in the process for this kind of thing to happen, to be dropped to 180 a month or so after the indictment.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about how what goes into that process.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you what went into that process. I'll tell you what went into
that
process.
I'm
going to
guess what happened.
I know what happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Anna. I didn't mean to rile him up.
Way to get it going.
Like pulling the cord. Also, we'll continue our neighborhood tour. We're going to Hyde Park. To talk with Mario Smith about the issues in Hyde Park and South Shore with this coming runoff election. So that's all tonight. And Kev Powell. Powell's going to be on too.
K-Powell?
Yeah, we're going to talk baseball. Expectations. The new season, it's really about expectations. It's no longer just about winning. It's about how much you win, or in the case of the White Sox, how much you lose.
I was going to say, every time I talk baseball with Justin, it's just him yelling about White Sox roster decisions and things like that.
You know what? As a fan, putting on my fan hat, less of my objective host hat, I'm excited that Eloy Jimenez is going to be in the opening day lineup.
Me too.
I'm excited. That's what they needed to do. They need to bring some excitement. So now I'm like,
he's going to have to get. He had a really good game the day after he signed his contract, but he's going to have a good season, and he's not had a good training camp.
I'm okay. I am okay with Eloy Jimenez going 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts on opening day. I just want to see the guy. I just want to see him.
You want to put Jerry Reinsdorf in the hospital? Is that what you're trying to do?
I want him up in the majors. I want him playing ball.
He's going to be a lot of fun to watch, man.
So it's going
to
be good.
All right.
So that's all coming up.
All right. Thank you. I'm done now.
You're done. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Here is David Jennings.